Just one verse that I'll read to you at the outset in the Psalm 115, the first verse. I'd like just to leave that with you. To emphasize the thoughts of our heart as we seek to give a wee word of testimony to you this evening. Psalm 115, verse 1, the psalmist says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." That's certainly our desire as we speak to you tonight. We want the Lord to have all the glory in everything that's said and done. There was a lady that I visited many years ago. She started to get a little bit forgetful. The memory just wasn't as good as it once was. On one occasion when I was visiting with her, she offered to make me some refreshment. She disappeared into the kitchen. After a little while, she put her head round the door and asked me if I took sugar in my hot drink. I said, "No, just a little bit of milk, no sugar." She thought about it for a moment or two, and then she said, "Well, I suppose you went off sugar when it was rationed during the war." Wasn't the Gulf War she was thinking about either. I was born in Newton Ards, in County Down, the 18th day of November, 1965. That was 53 years ago, last November, so I'll be able to settle that with you. Keep your thoughts in mind. I was brought up between Saintfield and Carriduff in an area down there known as the Ockley Hill. I was brought up in the Presbyterian Church. In fact, our family would have been greatly involved in the Presbyterian Church. I think I could safely say there wasn't an activity in that church in First Saintfield that the church held from week to week that there wasn't a member of our family involved in. We were very busy in church life, but I wasn't saved. And the sad thing, men and women, in all the years that I attended that church, I never remember hearing the gospel, and I never remember hearing that we needed to be saved. That was never told us, taught to us, or impressed upon our hearts. About a mile or so from where we lived, on the road down towards Carriduff, there's a little place called Killingyour Schoolhouse. It's where my mum was educated, but in the providence of God, it's where I was to experience God's salvation. What happened was, there was a local farmer, Mr. Robert Lowe. It's almost 40 years now since Mr. Lowe was taken home to glory. But he had a great burden to see a gospel witness opened in that area. He was a prominent member of the Martyrs' Church in Belfast. He spoke to Mr. Paisley about it, about the vision, the burden that he had. He brought Mr. Paisley out one Sunday morning. Brought him out from Martyrs after the morning service. They had dinner at the farm. After dinner, they walked across the field down to the schoolhouse. They made a little opening and one of the windows got into the little building. And Mr. Lowe set out his vision of what he'd like to see in that community. So they agreed that day they would renovate the building. They contacted the trustees. There was a little bit of work done. And an opening mission was held. At the time, I was maybe 12 years of age or thereabouts. There was great interest in the community. Mr. Paisley preached at the mission himself. We attended that mission maybe three nights in the providence of the Lord. None of the nights that we went along, Mr. Paisley was present because of other commitments. He wasn't able to be there those evenings. But I can tell you this, men and women, it was the first time in my life, sitting in that little schoolhouse, that I ever heard the gospel preached. I'd like to emphasize our brother, Mr. Robert Lowe. He had a great influence on my life. He was a dairy farmer. In those days, he had maybe 240, 250 cows. Way back then, that was viewed to be a large herd of cows, still would be to this day. But despite the busyness of the farm, he took time for the things of God. One of the things that he did when the schoolhouse was opened for the preaching of the gospel, they started an afternoon Sunday school on the Sabbath day, and he went round the entire community. He took time to visit every home personally, knock the doors, go up the lanes. invite the parents to send their children along to Sunday school. Maybe you're praying as this new year begins about a work that you could do for the Lord. Think of the children in your street, your road. Maybe you could visit the homes, tell them about the Sunday school, the children's meetings that are held here. Do all that you can to invite those children along to the house of God. It was because of what our brother did. I can picture him still in my mind, standing at our back door, speaking to my mother, pleading with her to send the entire family, to send us all along to the Sunday school. We started to go on the Sabbath afternoon. Have to say, hold up my hand, I didn't behave very well. Our brother Wilfie Crawford, that's still very much to the fore in the work there, would tell you to this day, when I came to Sunday school, they almost had to sit on me to keep me in the seat. One of the first things I did when I went into Sunday school was knock the hats off the girls sitting in the row in front of me. Now, I tell you all those things not to glory in my bad behaviour, but just to encourage you. Maybe there's a Sunday school teacher, there's a children's worker in the meeting this evening, and there's some wee fella, some wee girl, maybe in your class, in your meeting, you're frustrated. It's a real handful keeping them under control from week to week. Well, I was that sort of child. But don't be discouraged. You pray, you bring the gospel, you speak to those children. You just don't know how the Lord might put his hand upon that child in days to come. Save their soul, change their life, call them into his work and make them a servant of his. I was converted in that little schoolhouse. In those days, they had an evening meeting, what they called an after meeting, 8:15 on a Sunday night. Everybody went to their own service, then came to the schoolhouse. Afterwards, the first Sunday night of every year, Mr. Paisley came out himself from the Martyrs and would preach at those after meetings. And on the 7th of January 1979, it was just less than 2 weeks ago, the 40th anniversary of my conversion, 7th of January 1979, he came out to the schoolhouse. Mr. Lowe announced it in the afternoon. I remember going home saying to my father, Dr. Paisley's coming to the schoolhouse again tonight. We would really love to go down to hear him. So he took my elder brother and I, consented. We went to that meeting. The Lord spoke to my heart. And afterwards, waited behind, went into the little room, and it is a little room. They use it as a store, or they did up until they opened their new building last year. Anytime I visited, I would open the door and look into that little room. For me, it's a sacred spot. It's maybe only 6 or 7 feet square. Mr. Lowe was in the room, my elder brother, Dr. Paisley and I. When he knelt down, he was bigger on his knees in those days than I was on my feet. He wore the black, dark-rimmed, half-glass spectacles. I remember him looking over the glass with the scriptures in his hand as he led me down the Roman road and brought me to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Saved as a teenager, saved at just 13 years of age. And I make the appeal to young and old in this service tonight, those that are not saved, not right with God. Remember, men and women, there's nothing in this world more important than to know that you are saved and to know that it is well with your soul. There's a little hymn that says, what matters where on earth we dwell, on mountaintop or in the dale, in cottage or in mansion fair, but where Jesus is, it is heaven there. That little schoolhouse, even to this day, doesn't look like very much on the side of the Killinure Road, architecturally, but the Lord Jesus was there that night, and I met him, and I found him as my Saviour. Mr. Lowe gave me a little bit of advice after we came out of the room. Before we left home, we were standing there together, rejoicing in what had taken place. Dr. Paisley, Mr. Lowe, my father, my brother, and I. And Mr. Lowe said, when you go to school tomorrow, something very important, what you need to do is tell others, tell your friends of what happened here in the schoolhouse tonight. How important that is, men and women, confessing Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And I encourage you to do that. It wasn't easy. Remember going home that night, telling my mother what had happened. and going to school the next day, how challenging, how difficult that was. The Lord gives the grace that is needed, but it's very important. Sometimes it's not as difficult as you imagine, and it's in itself it is a witness. Maybe there's some members of your family, some people that you work with, and you've never yet told them that you're the Lord's, that you're a Christian, and that you're saved by His grace. I had a longing in those days, as I got a little bit older, 17, got a little car of my own, wanted to go down to Martyrs to hear Mr. Paisley preach. In those days, way back in the early 80s, on Sunday night there would have been maybe 1,800 people in Martyrs. Great groups of young people. If you hadn't been there before 6:30, you couldn't have been sure of getting the seat that you wanted in that great auditorium. So I started to go along, and then I had a longing to go to all of the services. So what I decided was I would leave the Presbyterian Church. That wasn't an easy step. I know my family wasn't entirely happy with what I wanted to do. I could see the difference, men and women, as clear as day and night, between the services in the Presbyterian Church we were attending in the morning, and I was going along to Martyrs maybe at night, and to the Killingure Schoolhouse during those years when I was 14, 15, 16, went every Sunday night. What a blessing and an encouragement those meetings were. But I knew, even as a lad, I knew if I was going to go on with God, going to be fed, if I was going to be in a place where I'd be encouraged by the fellowship, I'd have to leave First Sinfield Presbyterian Church. Maybe there's somebody here, the service tonight, and that's the very step that you need to do, come out from among them, the Bible says. And I urge you to obey that step. Come along to this place, fellowship with the Lord's people here, and be blessed by the ministry and the encouragement of the brethren and sisters in Christ here. So I left the Presbyterian Church, started to go along to Martyrs. I thought I'd like to join the church, and I thought about that and prayed about that, and still concerned about what my family would think. You'll know that there's two types of membership in our denomination. There's the congregational communicant membership. I thought, I'll become a congregational membership. I'm identifying with the Free Presbyterian Church, just not going the whole way. My family mightn't just be too upset when they hear I've become a congregational member. So I filled out the card. In those days, what happened was you waited after the evening service. Dr. Paisley would sit in the minister's room or the Kirk session room. People would line up outside. Any pastoral needs, any advice, if you wanted to talk to the big man, you waited for a little while. So I went in to see him about membership, and he looked at my card. He says, "Young man, you don't want to be a congregational member. You want to be a communicant member of this church." So he just took his pen and scored out where I'd ticked the box, and he ticked the other box. So that's how I became a communicant member of the Martyrs Church in Belfast. In the providence of God, I can see the Lord's hand in it, because a little time after that, the Lord called me into the ministry, and you need to be in communicant membership if you're going to go into the gospel ministry under the presbytery of the church. So one Sunday night, it was at the end of October 1983, just a little over 35 years ago, I joined as a communicant member, along with seven other people. That night we joined the church. Can I make the challenge to you? Maybe you've been a regular attender here for many years, but you've never taken that step. Remember, men and women, that church membership isn't something we have made up. Church membership is something that is scriptural. I have to be careful not to digress in that tonight, but it actually says of the Apostle Paul, whenever he came to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9, that he essayed to join himself unto the disciples. So there's the very word. He joined himself. And it's not the congregation, it's the disciples. It's those that are paying the price, those that are they're going through with God. So maybe it's time for you to become a member of the congregation here in Macrofelt. I got involved in the life of the Martyrs Church. They had two Sunday schools in those days, morning and afternoon. They had two youth fellowships, a Friday night youth fellowship and a Sunday night youth fellowship. We were greatly involved in all of those things. I started to teach Sunday school at the afternoon Sunday school in those days. It was held down the Ravenhill Road, and the old Ravenhill Church went along to both of the youth fellowships, became the secretary, the little youth committee, and I was the secretary of that youth committee just for a little time. And I rejoice in those days, the blessing of sitting under Mr. Paisley's ministry, the encouragement, the teaching that we received from the Lord's servant. And it was sitting under his ministry that I heard the call into service, got involved in the Sunday school and the youth, and then later got the call of God into full-time service itself. As I told you earlier, I was brought up in the Ockley Hill, brought up on a farm. I intended to be a farmer. There was absolutely nothing else in my mind as I grew up other than being a farmer. I didn't even take time to do O-levels. I said to my mother, I don't need O-levels, I'm going to drive tractors and milk cows. And maybe there's some young person here, you know, you're the same sort of mindset. Well, that sort of attitude that I had caused me difficulties in later years, because I had to go back to night classes to do the O-levels that were necessary to get into the Whitfield College of the Bible. So remember this, young people, doesn't matter what's in your mind at the moment, you just don't know how the Lord might lead you, might put his hand upon you, change the direction of your life completely. So work hard, as hard as you can when you're at school. Do all the exams, get all the qualifications you can. They will be of great benefit to you in days to come, and especially if the Lord calls you into his service. I studied for a little while at Cookstown, at Lockyer Agricultural College. I was there a little over 10 years ago at the 100th anniversary dinner. No farm there anymore. The farm has been demolished and a sports centre erected in its place. Whenever I went to Lockyer, what happened? Some of you will be familiar with William and Annie Cuddy down in Cookstown. Their young fella Basil went to Lockyer at the same time as I. They were very concerned about Basil leaving home, going to college, the people he would meet, the influences that he would come under, as every parent and grandparent is, as they see younger members of the family come to that stage. So what they did, I never forgot this, I want to leave it with you tonight. Maybe you have a young person leaving, going to college, university, maybe overseas, you're deeply concerned about all of those things yourself. What they did was they prayed, made it a matter of earnest prayer. They are a godly couple, as all that know that family would be able to testify. They prayed much. They prayed that the Lord would bring at least one other Christian friend into Basil's life at Lockyer Agricultural College. Might surprise you, but I was the answer to their prayers. So remember that, brethren, you just don't know what the Lord can do. We encouraged one another. Those days, Wednesday afternoons, we got them free. We always went out to Cuddy's for a little while, helped on the farm there. Wednesday night was prayer meeting night in Cookstown. The church then was meeting in the wooden building on the Fountain Road in the centre of the town. I remember those prayer meetings. Mr. Stewart's ministry, going through the book of Colossians at that time. That was the first place that I ever prayed publicly in the prayer meeting of the church. It was a blessing to be in your prayer meeting tonight. So many gathered the spirit of prayer. Can I appeal to you, brethren and sisters, support the prayer meetings of the church. Pray publicly in the prayer meetings of the church. I remember coming here some of the Sunday nights when we were at Lockyer. Those 35 years ago or thereabouts, we would come along here and be blessed by those great gospel services that were taking place. Whenever I came home from Lockyer, way back then in the summer of 1983, I thought for sure, this is me home to the farm. I'm going to settle down, going to spend the rest of my life on the land. If you gave me the choice, I liked the tractors and I liked the cows, but I probably liked the cows more than I liked the tractors. But I thought I was settled down on the farm for the rest of my days. I wasn't very long home from Loughrea. There's a group of us young fellows ran about together from Martyrs. We'd go to different meetings. Some of you remember the Red Rooster and the Craigie Road. It was the place where everybody met, all the Christians met in Belfast in those days. Well, we went along one night to the Mount Marion Church. Dr. Alan Kearns, who grew up there, was home from America, taking a series of meetings. The night that we went, in the middle of the message, Dr. Kearns, he outlined to the people how the Lord called him into the ministry of the gospel. And I knew, men and women, as I sat there that night, the Lord was speaking to my heart. The furthest thing from my mind to give my life to the work of the ministry, to be a minister, to give my life to a life of study. If you had asked the fellows that I went to school with, you look around the class, say to them, who in this class is going to be a minister? In fact, who in this class is going to be a Free Presbyterian minister? They wouldn't even have looked in my direction. I would have been the last fellow that they ever thought about. But the Lord in his grace reached down and put his hand on my life, called me into the work. I struggled with that, for maybe 2 years of my life. Maybe you're going through that same struggle. Can I say to you, brother, sister, there's only one way to get peace. There's only one way to settle that matter, and that's surrender your life. Surrender your all to the Lord. And I encourage you to do that tonight. I remember one Sunday afternoon, came home from Martyrs, had my dinner up in my bedroom, reading the scriptures, reading those verses at the end of Luke chapter 1 to do with John the Baptist, thy child shall be called a prophet of the highest. And I knew that day the Lord was speaking to me once more. So I knelt down the side of my bed and I surrendered my all, surrendered my life to the Lord. So I encourage you to do that too. Maybe there's some young person here, you need to seek the Lord for your life. What will thou have me to do? And if the Lord's speaking to you, if he's calling you to be a fisher of men, well, do what those fishermen did those many years ago. Forsake the business, forsake the family, and follow Christ with all of your heart. I had left school in too big a hurry. No O levels, that was the minimum requirement to get into the Whitfield College of the Bible. So I had to go back to night classes. I always had, I could take time to tell you, but I'll not. I always had difficulty with English language. I failed the English language O level twice. The Lord sometimes tests your call. I thought I wasn't going to get into the Whitfield College of the Bible, but the Lord undertook for us. The reason I tell you that is, you may be familiar, we have a little writing ministry, right in the newsletter, right in the Farming Life, published a few booklets that have gone here and there, the paper pulpit, the farming and the future and so on. You're maybe thinking to yourself, you know, I don't have very many talents, I don't have the ability of others. Well, if you think that, I think it 100 times more. I don't have very many talents or very many gifts. I struggled even to get into the Whitfield College of the Bible. But the thing is this, men and women, little is much when God is in it. You give the little you have. The little that you have, you just lay it down there on the altar. Give it to the Lord. And there's no knowing how he can take that up and use it for his glory. I told you I was 53. In the Old Testament, the Levites labored from they were 30 until they were 50. They retired at 50. It's not a very nice prospect. I'd have been retired just over 3 years ago. One of the lessons that you learn from that, brethren and sisters, is this. They gave the best years of their life to the Lord. 30 to 50. I'm thankful, especially in the light of all that happened to me last year. As I look back, I'm thankful that I've been able, that I obeyed the call, given the best years, given my strength, given those years to the Lord and his service. And I want to encourage you, brethren and sisters, to do the same. We made that little farming DVD. Some of you have seen it. I'm very thankful for every opportunity, the messages in the Farm and Life and so on. Coming from a farming background, the opportunities that the Lord has given me to reach the farming community of this province. You've heard of the televangelists? We call ourselves the welly evangelists. The fellows with the wellies on that went out to evangelize the farmers. I'll not take the time to tell you what I could. Indeed, I went to the Whitfield College in 87, came out in 91, spent a year in deputation, went to Wales for 9 years, then got the call of God to Mull of Glass, was there for just a little over 9 years, and I'm almost 9 years now down there in the church in Armagh. We're thankful for the Lord's goodness to us. We were to go to East Africa last April the 23rd, 9 months coming this Wednesday, with our brother Alistair Hamilton, just through the door of Terminal 1 there in Dublin Airport. I wasn't feeling very well and set the cases down. He was just a little in front of me, and I felt something just wasn't right. Took cardiac arrest, collapsed. He thought I'd fainted, soon realised it was much more serious than a faint. He started the CPR. He will play all of this down, but under God, he saved my life that day. A nurse came along in the providence of God. The whole story is a testimony of God's faithfulness, of God's providential care, his hand. That nurse came and helped them. They appealed for somebody to get an ambulance. The paramedics weren't very far away. They were quickly on the scene. They said I couldn't have collapsed in a better place. Every Garda officer, every member of the fire brigade in the airport is trained in first aid and defibrillator use. They have 50 defibrillators in Dublin Airport, a defibrillator program that they started back in 2003. And until February last year, just before I took ill, that program had saved 27 lives in the airport. So there's at least one more to add to that. I was out for maybe 20 minutes, took 3 shocks of the defibrillators before they got my heart going again. The next thing I remember was lying in the back of the ambulance and a paramedic shouting at me. And he was shouting, calling my name, look at me, don't close your eyes. He'd got me round and he didn't want to lose me again. So the Lord's hand was upon that. Our brother Alistair stayed with me. They took me down to the Mater Hospital in Dublin. They thought that they could sort me out with a couple of stents, but they found the blockage was in a bend, and the stents don't go round corners. There was a 95% blockage in my left main descending artery, the one they call the widowmaker, a very solemn name, very prevalent in men, often results in death. They came and said, we're very sorry, we can't put in the stent, too dangerous. In fact, it's more dangerous than the bypass. And I'm lying there thinking, bypass? You're going to do a bypass? I couldn't believe just how quickly things were moving along. But the Lord undertook. They had a free slot in the operating theatre. They told me that was very unusual. The top heart surgeon in the hospital was available. He was actually going on holiday, but he agreed to stay until he would do this operation, already done two that day. He was a man called McGuinness, Mr. Jonathan McGuinness. I have yet to meet Mr. McGuinness because of the fact that he was on holiday for all of that period. But I'm deeply thankful, men and women. There's so many details I could tell you about that time. I thank you sincerely for your prayers. I am greatly amazed when I hear the details of the operation, and I'm deeply challenged in the light of the sudden and unexpected death of our brother, the Reverend Ken Elliott. He was my senior minister in Wales. I called the same on Wednesday in Craigavon Hospital. He was in very good form and in very good spirits, and I was stunned last night when we received the news of his death. The Lord gave me a little word a short time after that. The short time after I came through that operation, the words of Caleb when he was 85 years of age. He said, the Lord hath kept me alive. And that's my testimony, men and women. 30,000 people a year on average in the UK every year experience cardiac arrest outside of a hospital. At most 10% survive. My cardiologist in Craigavon says the figure's only 5%. It's very low. But the Lord was pleased to keep me alive and to bring me through that experience, and I'm deeply humbled by that, that he still has a little work for me to do while we're down here upon this earth. But as a reminder, men and women, you don't know what a day will bring forth. So you need to be saved, and you need to be right with God. The wee word I preached to our people this morning was, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And maybe that's the very thing you need to do tonight. The Lord has been good to you. You need to set your house in order too.